हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so reading from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Ocean, Fourth Wave, Chapter 43, Parenthood, verse 3, 4, 23. The ornaments of the early Kumara age are a tiger claw around his neck, tilak for protection, mascara on his eyes, a cord around his waist, and a string tied on his wrist. Srila Prabhupada. Childhood age, childish dress, movements of the child, sweet words spoken by the child, nice smiling, and various forms of childish play are considered provocations for increasing parental love for Krishna. Okay, so these are all within the Udipans. The childhood ages of Krishna are divided into three periods: the beginning of Kumara age, the middle of Kumara age, and the end of Kumara age. During the beginning and middle of the Kumara age, Krishna's thighs are fatty and the inner part of his eyes are whitish. There are signs of teeth coming out, and he is very mild and gentle. He is described as follows. Now, Krishna had only three or four teeth coming out of his gums. His thighs were fatty. His body was very, very short. And he began to enhance the parental love of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda with activities of his childish body. He was sometimes stepping with his legs again and again, sometimes crying, sometimes smiling, sometimes sucking his thumb, and sometimes lying down flat. These are some of the different activities of the child Krishna. When Krishna was lying down flat, sometimes sucking the toes of his feet, sometimes throwing his legs upwards, sometimes crying and sometimes smiling. Mother Jashoda, seeing her son in such pastimes, did not show any sign of restricting him, but rather began to watch her child with eagerness, enjoying these childhood pastimes. End quote. In the beginning of Krishna's Kumara age, the nails of tigers were set in a golden necklace around his neck. There was protective tilak on his forehead, black mascara around his eyes, and silk thread around his waist. These are descriptions of Krishna's dress at the beginning of Kaumara age. 3.4.24, an example. Looking at her son possessing the complexion of a new tamal leaf, with a tiger claw around his neck, with yellow gorachana tilak, with a tied string on his wrist and silk cord around his waist, Jashoda could never satisfy her eyes. Srila Prabhupada. When Nanda Maharaj saw the beauty of child Krishna with tiger nails on his chest, a complexion like the new grown tamal leaf, beautifully decorated tilak made with the cow's urine, arm decorations with nice silk thread, and silk clothes tied around his waist. When Nanda Maharaj saw his child like this, he never became satiated by the child's beauty. Srila Jiva Goswami, Tadakshu is actually a wolf, but by approximation stands for tiger in this case. The second mention of Tamal Patra means tilak in this verse. Yeah. So they're just pointing out that. Yeah. Yeah, because the tamal leaves, when you see when they're new, then they'll have that kind of dark color, but they're super soft, super fine and everything. That's the aspect that's there. Yeah. tilak made with cow's urine, so it'll be yellow color. So like what we wear, the Gopi Chandana, it has that yellow color. Because sometimes you see Krishna also wearing the sindur as tilak and all that. So some will try to say, no, that's his tilak and all that. No, it may be one of the tilaks he wears, but this yellow tilak is also a very standard thing for him to wear. 3, 4, 25, middle Kumara age. In the middle Kumara age, Krishna has locks of hair falling to his eyes. He appears with partial clothing. He has pierced ears. He utters sweet, unclear words and begins to crawl. Srila Jiva Goswami. Anagnata means somewhat naked. This has two forms. Like, because before that, basically, he is naked. But he's wearing the tiger claw. He's wearing the silk cord around his waist. And he has the thread on his wrist. Like that. But then, you know, so it's his movements, his smiles, and how he does everything. And you know, like this. And then here at this point, then you see is that he'll have some clothes on, some partial clothing. But, not, you know, never much. These kids don't really value the clothing. So if mother puts it on, they have it. Otherwise, they're quite happy as they are. So now the samskar has been done for piercing the ears. Like that. This has two forms. I mean, somewhat naked. Not completely covered and sometimes naked. Though Krishna eternally has holes pierced in his ears, the holes become visible at this time. Ringanadhyam means the beginning stages of crawling by moving his feet a little bit. You know, so how they move, they have different ways they can crawl, you know, and so all these things start happening at this time. 3, 4, 26, an example. Mother Jashoda drowned in an ocean of bliss on seeing her partially naked son with locks hanging down into his brow, right? Because the hair is getting longer now, so it starts to hang down on the face. With darting eyes, inarticulate words and fresh holes in his ears as he crawled about more frequently. Srila Jiva Goswami. He has had restless locks of hair bordering his brows and fickle eyes. He had fresh holes in his two ears while he spoke broken words. The stage of crawling mentioned in the previous verse is here described. Alagnu rachita ringam means frequent, not a little. Crawling about means he does it a lot. Like you see before is that he'd move his feet a little bit step by step, you know, or sometimes that just means that you just have your foot in one place and you just kind of move it and step, though you're not moving. You just put your foot down, the same foot down a few times like that. But here he's very regularly, you know, moving about. It's not just a little bit, you know, always busy. This means at the end of the Adya Kumara age, there was a very small amount of crawling. Thus, in the middle period, he crawled around more, a lagu. So there's a little bit at the beginning stage. So that's why it said there's something. But now there's a lot. Ringam means crawling. Dig dukulam, having the directions for his dress, means as explained before, sometimes naked and sometimes partially naked. Right? Because if you're saying that you're dressed in the 10 directions, just means you have air as your clothes. Like that. But here it means sometimes naked, sometimes partially naked, because these little kids like that, it's like, you know, who cares? At least that's the tradition, and, you know, basically all the cultures of the world. In the modern, then, it's funny, is that the children then, oh, how can you have them dressed like this and that? You have to cover them and all that. But mm-hmm. once they grow up and get big, then they can walk around half naked, and now it's good. So that's the thing, is before is that, kids, when they were small, they walk around with no clothes on. When they grow big, then they wear clothes. Just like it said, the youngest group of gopis, then the ones that they're like 10 or 11 like this, that they sit in there in the courtyard of their father, and that they may have no top on, right? And so, you know, that's the way they sit around because it's hot, it's summer and this and that, and they're very young. So that's the youngest group that has that attraction to Krishna, like that. I think, I'm not sure that this, can't remember what her name is. It's not also Dhanishta, but yeah. But you see is there is that they're not fully clothed, it doesn't matter. But we see when they get a little bit bigger, then they always are very covered, like that. But in the modern, they cover up the little girls, and then the big girls are not covered. So, you know, go figure. Tana yamana bhavanti sa sudham bhau vijahare. Thinking of her son, she enjoyed a pool of nectar. Is an alternative version of the last line.
Maharaj?
Yes.
What is the meaning to have a hole in the ears? Why?
Because you put earrings in.
Yes, but it's...
On the little kids, then they have that, they generally at 1 year old, when they do the hair cutting ceremony and other things like that, yes. They generally pierce the ears. You can also do it earlier, but it's done quite at a younger time. And so then they'll wear studs at that time. They don't wear anything dangly because they play, they'll catch it in something, they'll pull on it.
Yes.
So they wear studs. Yes. Just makes it more attractive and all that. Plus also then the pierced ears and all that, it also helps for balancing the senses and all that. So the boys only just have the two on the ears and that's it. But the girls then will have the two on the ears, you know, like that. And they'll plus, then they'll have others. They have two more on the ears and then they have on the nose. So that way then seven is a standard thing for the bigger girls. But when they're small, then everybody has the two. So the boys might maintain them, like you see if you're going south and that, the Brahmins and all that, they all maintain it. Yes. Others, they have it when they're small, and then when they're bigger, they stop wearing them like that. So it seems to depend. I'm not sure if it's on the different group or who it is and this and that, or, you know, what's the consideration. But before then, everybody, you know, maintained those two. And then the girls added more as they got older. Like that. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Three, 427. The decorations of the middle Kumara period are a pearl at the tip of his nose, butter in his hand, and bells around the waist. Srila Jiva Goswami. Krishna holds butter in his hand occasionally, not all the time, because it produces a splendor. It is included with his ornaments, right? So, because it makes it very attractive. So we see in Udupi, then Krishna there at the Udupi, at the Krishna Mat, then you see in his hand, he's holding butter. He's got the churning rod and he's got butter. So in the very early morning, so it says sometimes, not all the time. So then, you know, how you say occasionally, you know, just because the kids like to eat butter, right? And so then in the morning, you know, at the Mangalartik Darshan, he'll be dressed just like that. In other words, he's only just, you know, without any other ornaments or without any other clothes, just what's there in the deity and he's holding. But as it goes in the day, they keep dressing him and all that till in the evening, then he's, you know, he has the, you know, the full opulence of Vaikuntha like that. So... Yeah, so this occasionally wears is an attractive feature. It's considered one of his ornaments. 3.4.28, an example. The wife of Nanda derived great pleasure from seeing Krishna in front of her with small gold bells jingling around his waist, with the pearl in his nose and butter in his hand. Right. So now he's got some gold bells, because otherwise before you just have the string for protection. But as you get older, then you could put the bells and things like that, or even, but other one, because you don't want them to get lost or them to break them or anything or to be uncomfortable. Because before they're always laying on their back a lot. So now it'll be less. Srila Prabhupada. In the middle Kumara age, the upper portion of Krishna's hair falls around his eyes. Sometimes he's covered with cloth around the lower part of his body. And sometimes he's completely naked. Sometimes he tries to walk, taking step by step. And sometimes he talks very sweetly in broken language. These are some of the symptoms of his middle Kumara age. He is thus described when Mother Yashoda once saw him in his middle Kumara age. His scattered hairs were touching his eyebrows, and his eyes were restless. Right, because you look around here, there, and all the things, because now you're more aware of what's around you, so then what you can do, where you can go, who you're interacting with. but he could not express his feelings with proper words. Still, when he was talking, his talk was so nice and sweet to hear. When Mother Jashoda looked at his little ears and saw him naked, trying to run very quickly with his little legs, she was merged into the ocean of nectar. Krishna's ornaments at this age are a pearl hanging from the septum of his nose, butter on his lotus-like palms, and some small bells hanging from his waist. It is stated when Mother Jashoda saw that Krishna was moving, ringing the bells on his waist, smiling at her with the pearl between his nostrils, and with butter in his hand, she became wonderfully pleased to see her little child in that fashion. 3429. Late. It's funny because he moved from language to language, right? You know, so when I saw that first, I thought, Late Kumara. No, but it's, but I guess it was French, it'd be Lat Kumara, right? Or Lat Kumar, or whatever. During the last part of the Kumara age, Krishna's waist becomes slightly thinner, his chest becomes slightly broader, and three braids hang down his back. 3430. An example. The sight of the charming child with thin waist, slightly broadened chest, and three braids tied at the back of his head completely stunned his mother, Srila Jiva Goswami. Apachi Yamana Madhya means that the waist became slightly thinner on its own, by itself, right? Yeah, so it is a reflective verb form. So when the younger, then the whole idea is that they're very, you know, the thighs and their waist is very big. And it's good because one, it's a natural place to store up, you know, for the energy for growing and everything like that. But at the same time, as they do spend a lot of time sitting and falling over on that part of their body. You know, so then it works out very well. And as they get a little bit older, the later part of the Kumara, then you see the waist becomes thinner and that they get a little taller. They have that kind of look to them. And that brings a new flavor. So each one has a flavor like that. Kaka Paksha means that three braids, one on the left, one on the right, and one in the center, were tied together at the back. 4331, right? So here's that Mother showed it, you know, tied the hair from, you know, if you down the middle, you know, so you had braids out each side, and then all the hair in the back had a braid, and then all those three are pulled together and then tied together. 4331. A long narrow cloth wrapped around the waist. Cloth folded to resemble a serpent's hood at the front. Flower ornaments and a small stick in his hand were considered the ornaments of the last part of the Kumara age. Srila Prabhupada. While Krishna was in the middle of his Kumara age, his waist became thinner, his chest became broader, and his head was decorated with curly hairs, resembling the falling of the wings of a crow. Right, because the crow's wings are not exactly, so tidy. It's pleasant, but you see that the feathers are all kind of going in slightly different directions. But it has that nice blue-black color, you know, like that. These wonderful features of Krishna's body never failed to astonish Mother Jashoda. At the end of his Kumara age, Krishna carried a small stick in his hand. His clothing was a little longer, and he had a knot tied around his waist, resembling the hood of a snake. Right, so that means is that you tie it around the waist, and then when you make the knot and you're making like a bow, you only pull one side through. You don't, it's not a double bow. So the top part will have the loop, and then there's the knot, and then the two ends will stick out the bottom. So in that way, then it looks like the hood of a snake because that loop that comes up, and because it's cloth, when it becomes, you pull it, it becomes a little bit wide than that. In that dress, he used to take care of the calves near the house. And sometimes he played with cowherd boys of about the same age. He had a slender flute and a buffalo horn bugle. And sometimes he played on a flute made from the leaves of trees. These are some of the symptoms at the end of Krishna's Kumara age. Interesting that they take out the calves, but it's all around or close to the house. You know, so there'll be land around, and so the grass is there, so they won't go into the forest and that, because there won't, you know, be less calves. Srila Jiva Goswami. Dati is a long and narrow cloth. Oh my God, look at that. And that is in Sanskrit. A long, narrow cloth is called a dati. And then local, and then you also have dauta means pure. And then that way you get a pure, long, narrow cloth. There is the Sanskrit right there. But no, no, there's no there, nowhere is it mentioned. They'll say, no, no, it's not exactly as it said here. Yeah, yeah. But what, how they talk in New York and how they talk on the East Coast, you can't even tell them, you can't even tell what they're talking about. It looks attractive, wrapping the lower half of the body in various ways. Right? So he'll wear it in different styles. Sometimes you see it kind of has it where the corner is off on one side. You see it's kind of done like a triangle, and then you have it so it goes down and one knee is like covered, and then it goes up and it only comes part way up on the thigh on the other side, and then it goes around the waist and it's tied. So sometimes you see pictures of when he's small like that. Parna Padi is a piece of cloth that looks like serpent's hood in front and sewn at the back to look like a small dhoti. It is tucked in at the waist. Again, the word. 3.4.32. The activities of the last part of the Kumara age are herding the calves near Vraja, playing with friends and playing on small flutes, horns, and leaves. 4.3.33, an example of activities of late Kumara. Oh, dear wife, look, look, your son with a peacock feather on his head and the hood-shaped cloth decoration, carrying a stick and surrounded by his friends, is herding the calves at the edge of Vraja. By seeing him, our eyes have become successful. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna was a little grown up and he was taking care of the small calves, he would often go near the forest. And when he was a little bit late returning home, Nanda Maharaj would immediately get up on the Chandra Shalika, a small shed built on the roof for getting a bird's eye view all around. Not exactly just a small, I mean, it, you can say, yeah, it's a small shed on the top. Means that because shed just means it's a covering. It's not a house. There's no walls or anything like that necessarily. And he would watch for him. Worrying about the late arrival of his little son, Nanda Maharaj would remain on the Chandra Shalika until he could indicate to his wife that Krishna, surrounded by his little cowherd friends, was coming back with the calves. Nanda Maharaj would point out the peacock feather on his child's head, and would inform his beloved wife how the child was pleasing his eyes. Srila Jiva Goswami, noticing that the sun was late in returning, Nanda climbed to the pavilion on the roof and in consternation spoke to his wife. Sakrit Karin, literally dung makers, means calves. Oh, that is so funny. Calves are known as literally as dung makers, right? Because they don't produce milk, they don't work in the field, so they just produce dung. Dung makers. So what are you? Yes, I'm a Sakrit Karin by occupation. That is funny. 3.4.34. Pauganda age. Since the Pauganda age was previously described as the Udipana for the Shakya Ras, 3.3.61 to 77, it is described in summary here, right? Because before he gave so much detail of how they dressed, what they did, and everything like that. But he'll give just something. An example. My son, with white edges on his eyes, wearing a turban and jacket, is returning to Krishna from the river bank, following behind the cows, while his attractive ankle bells jingle. Srila Prabhupada. Mother Jashoda would then address Nanda Maharaj. See my dear son, whose eyes are white, who has a turban on his head, a wrapper on his body, and leg bells that tinkle very sweetly on his feet. He is coming near, along with his Surabhi calves, and just see how he's wandering upon the sacred land of Vrindavan. So 3, 4, 36, now Kishore age. Oh, Jashoda, that jewel of a man, dark in color, who came from the mine of your womb, with reddish edges on his eyes, right? Because notice how before this it was always white. So now he's starting to get those reddish edges like that. Or he just sees that the middle is very white. You know, one is that the edges were white, then the middle was white. And now you see is that then you have the red on the edges. With raised chest and necklace hanging on his throat and a line of hair rising from his belly, is giving pleasure to our eyes. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, Maharaj Nanda would address his wife, my dear Jashoda, just look at your offspring, Krishna. See his blackish bodily luster, his eyes tinged with red color, his broad chest and his nice golden necklace. How wonderful he looks and how he is increasing my transcendental bliss more and more. Though Krishna is beautiful in 3, 4, 37. Though Krishna is beautiful in the age of Navayovana, late Kishore, he appears as if he were still in the Pauganda age for those fixed in pure Vatsalya Rasa. Right? So in pure Vatsalya, that's what they are. Then they don't really see the Kishore age. That's why it said that they just have the Kumara and Pauganda, and that's what you see there. So it's then for the others, then there'll be something that is there. But otherwise, this is the mood in which they see him. So this is just for them later. 3, 4, 38. And when Krishna is of the delicate Pauganda age, he appears to be of the Kishore age for certain types of persons in Dasya Ras. Srila Jiva Goswami. Dasa Visheshanam refers to devatas and others who usually see his mature form. Right? So, yeah, because they're used to, you know, him being the Lord and everything like that, or him being superior, so then they'll see that more mature kind of aspect. Insolence of his Kishore age. 3, 4, 39. Krishna gave bliss to Mother Jashoda by breaking the milk pots, scattering the yogurt, stealing the cream off the milk, breaking the churning rod, and constantly throwing butter into the fire. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna, the beloved son of Nandamara, steps into his Kishore age, although he becomes more beautiful, his parents still consider him to be in the Pauganda age, even though he is between the ages of 10 and 15. When Krishna is in his Pauganda age, some of his servants also accept him as being in the Kishore age, right? So even he's whatever, the others don't see him kind of as older because of that service mood. When Krishna performs his childish pastimes, his general practice is to break the milk and yogurt pots, throw the yogurt in the courtyard, and steal the cream from the milk. Sometimes he breaks the churning rod, and sometimes he throws butter on the fire. In this way, he increases the transcendental pleasure of his mother, Jashoda. Srila Jiva Goswami. Harihi refers to drinking vessels, according to Kshira Swami. So it means milk pots. People of Mathura say it means clay vessels with lids. Santanikam refers to the cream layer on top of the milk. Instead of kshipat yavir ratam, he constantly threw butter. Sometimes kshipat yapi muhur. 3, 4, 40. Another example. Mukara. Oh, Mukara, Krishna, looking all around in fear and walking softly, has certainly come to steal the butter by darting out from behind the creepers. Remain here, pretending not to know. I desire to see his attractive face with his attractive face. I'm not sure what that means. Or with dry face and frightened eyes as he moves his brows, thinking how to steal the butter. Maybe meaning dry, meaning, you know, he's a little bit apprehensive, that aspect. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Mother Jashoda once told Mukara, her maidservant, just look at Krishna looking stealthily towards all sides and slowly stepping forward from the bushes. It appears that he is coming just to steal the butter. Don't expose yourself or he may understand that we are looking toward him. I want to enjoy the sight of his eyebrows moving in this cunning way, and I want to see his fearful eyes and beautiful face. Better than dry, right? Srila Jiva Goswami, Tishta Svayadam means stand here without moving. Nandarta Varga of Amarkosh says, Manda Svachan Adhayoho Svayadam. Svayadam means slowly or at will. He has brows which move about because he is thinking how to steal the butter. Right? So that just very carefully looking, he's thinking, checking things. So that slow moving of his eyebrows on how he's going to steal the butter, then Mother Jashoda wants to watch that. 3, 4, 41. Because cleverness, because he's being clever, he's using his intelligence, he's active. So these are all qualities that are attractive.
Maharaj?
3, 4, 41. Yes.
On the level of rasa between Krishna as a baby, either with Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj, bringing anxiety to Mother Yashoda or bringing pleasure to Mother Yashoda, is that on the same level on the side of Krishna or the same level on the side of Mother Yashoda? How are those two moods understood?
It means they're two flavors of the same thing, because see, here you have happiness and distress, and they're two very different things. But or active and inactive, or all this, you have all these dualities. But in the spiritual world, you don't have duality. So happiness and distress only appears to be distress, but it's the highest ecstasy. So Prabhupada gives the example, just like when Akrura came to take Krishna to Mathura, then the gopis were, you know, in an ocean of distress, but it was producing the highest ecstasy. So that's the thing, is there's no duality there. So all these things are just ways of interaction between Krishna and the devotees to increase their bliss and their attraction to him.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so anxiety is blissful, right?
Yeah, because the anxiety connected to Krishna, because Krishna is, he himself is Ananda. So being absorbed in him, why will it not be Ananda? But there are various flavors that this Ananda produces. So then you can say that it has the secondary rasas and the vyabhachari bhavas. Then they'll produce a wide variety of many times contradictory or of qualities. But they're all just within the taste of the ocean of the nectar of devotion. So that's the whole thing, is they're just there to create that variety and all that. That's their purpose. You know, so it's centered all around Krishna. So you see here perfectly, everything is connected around Krishna. Like that.
Okay.
So here, the whole place, the material world, is pervaded by Krishna's transformed potencies. And so you're going to see the same forms, right? The same aspects and all that. But, you know, it won't have the same glories in the spiritual world. But, you know, therefore we can relate to all these different emotions and the sanchari bhavas and the secondary rasas and all that, because we have experience of them here, because they have that natural original kind of position that they're starting from.
Yes.
So therefore, being able to relate to that, then we can appreciate very much the pastimes that are going on. Otherwise, if there weren't anything like that here, it wouldn't make any sense to us. But the problem is here it's all self-centered. While there, it's in the perfection of everything's connected to Krishna.
Yes.
So even here we know as those potencies are all coming from Krishna. So anything here can remind us of the pastimes there, of Krishna's interaction with his devotees and those pastimes. Is that all right?
Yes, it makes sense. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. So 3, 4, 41. The Anubhavas and Vatsalya Rasa are smelling Krishna's head, rubbing his body with one's hands, giving blessings to him, giving him orders, caring for him, protecting him, and giving beneficial instructions. Srila Prabhupada. In enjoying Krishna's attitude of stealing butter very stealthily, Mother Jashoda experienced the ecstasy of maternal love by smelling his head, sometimes patting his body with her hand, sometimes offering blessings, sometimes ordering him, sometimes gazing at him, sometimes maintaining him, and sometimes giving him good instructions not to become a thief. Right? She'll tell him, you know, like that, and chastise, don't become a thief, this, that, and all that. But at the same time, you saw before, she's watching because, you know, it's his mood and he's happy and all that. Such activities are in a maternal ecstatic love. An important point to be observed in this connection is that the childless propensity of stealing is there even in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, this propensity is not artificial. However, in the spiritual relationship, there's no inhibitory to a stealing propensity, so as there is in the material world. Because here it creates a difficulty and a problem for people, while there it just creates transcendental ecstasy. So it'll be a very different effect and all that. But you see is that only when he's, you know, young, then this is going on. When he gets older, these things, these aren't part of the pastimes. Because then it becomes part of, you know, following the rules and everything like that, and the majesty, those aspects like that. Because the child is propensity, because everything's there in the house and whatever's there and whatever is, you know, it's all being engaged. So whatever they want, they take. And so it's just a natural principle. So those who can, you know, can mature from that and grow up, then they live in the cities and that. And those who don't, then they should stay in the forest. Because in the forest, whatever's there, if you take it, no one will say you're stealing. Right? It means it's Krishna's forest and like that. So you have to appreciate that Krishna is giving those things. But it's not a disturbance. Like you go out in the forest and just take stuff and bring it in the city and sell it. No one will say you stole it. So that's the point. But if you come in the city and take whatever you like and then sell it, then it's called stealing. 3.4.42. Smelling his head from the 10th canto. So this would be an example of that. At that time, all the thoughts of the cowherd men merged in the mellow of paternal love, which was aroused by the sun, sight of their sons. Experiencing a great attraction, their anger completely disappearing, they lifted their sons, embracing them in their arms, and enjoyed the highest pleasure by smelling their sons' heads. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.33. 3.4.43, another example. The wife of Nanda, with milk flowing from her breast, soaking her body, after smelling his head bedecked with peacock feather, began to rub his limbs with her hands repeatedly. Srila Prabhupada. The Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 33. Sukadeva Goswami tells King Parikit, "My dear king, as soon as the elderly gopis saw their sons coming, there was an inexpressible sign of parental love, and all of them became absorbed in affection. At first, they were planning to chastise their sons for stealing butter, but as soon as the sons came before their eyes, they lost all their angry attitude and became overwhelmed with affection. They began to embrace the sons and smell their heads. While doing this, they became almost mad after their children." End quote. In their childhood pastimes, all these coward boys joined with Krishna in stealing butter. But rather than become angry, Mother Jashoda became wet from the milk flowing out of her breasts. Out of her affection for Krishna, she began to smell his head repeatedly. 3.4.44. The elders' activities of kissing him, embracing him, calling out his name, and criticizing him are anubhavas in common with the friends as well. Right? Because remember before is that there were so many of these qualities that are common amongst all the three rasas, you know, expanding from the chit potency. So the dasya, friendship, and parental. Yeah. 3.4.45. Sattvika Bhavas. The Sattvika Bhavas of Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa are the eight, starting with stambha, paralysis, and as well milk flowing from the breasts of the women. So yeah, so these eight, then they're the same. 3, 4, 46. Milk flowing from the breast, from the 10th canto. The boys or the mothers, upon hearing the sounds of the flutes and bugles began being played by their sons, immediately rose from the household tasks, lifted the boys onto their laps, embraced them with both arms, and began to feed them with their breast milk, which flowed forth because of extreme love, specifically for Krishna. Actually, Krishna is everything, but at that time, expressing extreme love and affection, they took special pleasure in feeding Krishna, the Parabrahman, and Krishna drank the milk from his respective mothers as if it were a nectarine beverage. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.23. Srila Prabhupada. The general activities of all the mothers of the cowherd boys were to kiss them, to embrace them, and call them by their names, and sometimes to chastise them mildly for their stealing habits. These manifestations of parental love are called sattvika ecstasy, when manifestations of eight kinds of ecstatic symptoms are visible in full. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 22, Sukadev Goswami tells King Parikit, all the mothers of the cowherd boys were illusioned by the covering potency of the yogamaya potency of the personality of Godhead. And as soon as they heard the flute playing of their boys, they immediately stood up and mentally embraced their sons, who had been created by the direct internal potency of Krishna. Accepting them as their born sons, they lifted them into their arms and began to embrace them, resting the children's bodies upon their own. The emotions created by this instant were sweeter than nectar, turned into a palatable intoxicant, and the milk flowing out of the breast was immediately drunk up by the children. Another example from Lalita Madhava. O Krishna, Jashoda, by most pure streams of milk, mixed with the honey of her affection, flowing from the pots in the form of her breasts, is washing away the dust raised by the calves' hooves, which covers the painted patterns on your body, derived from the minerals found in the mountains. In this way, she performs a first bath for you. So it mentioned here the honey of her affection. Here, the emotions created by the incident were sweeter than nectar turned into a palatable intoxicant. We see his Prabhupada's bringing out that aspect in his translation. Srila Prabhupada, in the Lalita Madhava, compiled by Rupa Goswami, Krishna is addressed as follows. My dear Krishna, when you are engaged in herding the animals, the dust caused by the hooves of the calves and cows covers your nice face and artistic tilak, and you appear very dusty. But when you return home, the milk flowing out of the breasts of your mother washes your face of its dust covering, and you appear to be purified by this milk, just as when the deity is washed during the performance of the Abhishek ceremony. End quote. It is the custom in the temples of deities that if there have been some impure activities, the deity has to be washed with milk. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was washed by the milk from the breast of Mother Jashoda, which purified him from dust covering. Srila Jiva Goswami. Nichu Lita means covered. Jashoda's affection, Sneha, was the honey, Madhvika, used for the Abhishek. Medhya means most pure. Sneha Madhvika Medha is a compound of two adjectives with the purity of honey-like affection. The suggestion is that this would be very enjoyable for Krishna. Nava here means first. There would be another bath for Krishna soon after, using water. But it would be insignificant compared to this bath with milk, right? Because of that nectar and all that of Mother Jashoda's affection from seeing Krishna as he's come back from the cowherd field, you know, that after that separation, when you first meet that intensity, then the bath after with water won't have that same intensity like that. So this becomes a very special bath then. 3448, other sattvika bhavas. The disturbed queen of Gokula could not embrace Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan, because her limbs were paralyzed, nor could she gaze upon him because her eyes were filled with tears. Nor could she instruct him because her voice was choked up. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes there were examples of Mother Jashoda's becoming stunned in ecstasy. This was exhibited when she saw her son lifting Govardhan Hill. When Krishna was standing, raising the hill, Mother Jashoda hesitated to embrace him and became stunned. The danger of position that Krishna had accepted by lifting the hill brought tears to her eyes. With her eyes filled with tears, she could not see Krishna anymore. And because her throat was choked up by anxiety, she could not even instruct Krishna as to what he should do in that position, right? Because, you know, the parents always instruct the children what to do in the various positions. So now that he's holding up a hill, then as his mother, she would naturally instruct him on, you know, what would be the appropriate thing. This is a symptom of becoming stunned in ecstatic love, right? Because it said the eight symptoms, right? So the unique one was the milk flowing from the breast, but the others then were the stumba, paralysis, and all of that.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, so when it was mentioned about the milk flowing from Yashoda's breast, you know, it seems that it happened quite often, even when Krishna is becoming older, no?
Yeah, because as it said, they only see him as Pauganda. That's just the way parents are. You never really grow up. That's why, you know, the kid has to, you know, remind the parents that he's grown up, because otherwise in their mind, then that parental rasa, they always see him as, no, we always take care, we always instruct, we always see that everything's safe and all that, you know, so it won't change, right? It means there may be more of it when he's smaller. Often because he's constantly around the house, or he just goes out in the fields and comes back like that. So there's more opportunity. But even as he grows up, it's still the same. You know, even if she sees him later when he's fully gone to Mathura, when he comes back, it's the same thing. It doesn't change. Parental rasa doesn't change.
And Maharaj, can we say that in the material world, the feeling from a mother to her son, you know, it can be close to the feeling of Yashoda for Krishna.
It has the form of that, but it won't have the intensity.
Yes.
So the point is that all these qualities that are seen here, all the different forms of the ecstatic emotions and all that, they're here to some degree. Because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. The difference is in the spiritual world, they're coming because of their attraction to Krishna. Well, in the material world, it'll be, you know, because of ourself and our attraction to what we think will make us happy in this material world. But the forms about how you interact, what are the reactions, what you do, all that remains the same. That doesn't change.
Yes.
So that's the whole idea is that... That not changing then means that the activities are the same, so therefore we can relate to them. So that's why you can buy nectar devotion, then you can relate to what's going on. You see in the different plays, you can relate to what's happening. Because otherwise, then we would have a tendency to, you know, if we don't know here, we wouldn't know about that there. If you didn't have parents here, then what's the significance of Nanda and Yashoda? You know, if we didn't have friends here, what would be the significance of the Cowherd Boys and their relations? So all these different things then, because here is there, you know, you have the happiness and stress, but here you have these dualities, and there everything is, there's no duality. So it's always giving the highest ecstasy. So they're always in ecstasy. While here, happiness is occasional and distress seems to be a bit more by volume. You know, so that you don't have that in the spiritual world. Does that make sense?
Yes. Maharaj, when we say that Srila Prabhupada Miroswali is saying that the most important love is a mother for a child.
Yes. The closest thing you see.
Yes.
It's the closest you'll see, but it's still not completely there.
Yes.
But it's the closest you'll see. It gives you an indication, because that's the whole idea of an example. It gives you an idea of what's there. And because of that idea, then you're able to appreciate and appreciate, you know, the point that's being made, and therefore move forward in Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Yes, Maharaj. Sometimes, you know, just a little detail I want to ask. It means sometimes some people say, you know, that it's very important for a lady to have children, to express a type of close love as much as is possible.
Mm-hmm. And who's saying that?
Yes, we can say, I never saw that in the scripture, but when
no, but I'm just saying, who generally makes this point the strongest? The men or the women? The men are saying, no, they should have children, right? Women know women have children. So if you have children, then that's what you do. If they don't have children, there must be some reason and all that.
Okay. Yeah, men.
So the women having children, is that purely on a... there's no interest on the men's side or anything like that?
Yes, ma'am.
You understand? So yes, these things, as they'll say, is no, and like that. And then the idea is, then if you have that love for the children, then, you know, now you, then you'll have love for me, because now you've tasted it, you know, the love, you know, it just goes on. It's just, these are natural things. That's what Manu says. Girls are born to be mothers. Boys are born to be fathers. But the point is humans are meant to be God conscious. So if in the arrangement you can have children and all that, that's nice. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. It means, all these elder gopis there in Vrindavan, they're all absorbed in Krishna. They may have their own children, but the main thing is about Krishna, their attraction to Krishna. So, you know, there's so many things that are there. It just makes it nice, but it doesn't mean that without it you can't become Krishna conscious.
Yes.
You know, because otherwise then you should have tons of money, you should have a nice car, you should have this, you should have, otherwise you can't become Krishna conscious. So bhakti is not dependent upon karma at all. So it's natural. And if it comes, if it happens, then nice. And if it doesn't happen, we don't worry about it. Just the way it is.
Yes, nice. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's a natural position. People get married to have family. But some get married and they don't want to have family. So that's, you know, they can't live on their own, you know. In other words, if you don't want to have children, then why get married? So then therefore stay alone. But if they can't do that, then they get married and they don't have children. Mm. You know, so technically then they would be living more like vanaprastas.
Yes.
You know, just that companionship is there. So then they have that natural kind of interaction and support. And then they can, you know, then serve Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Thank you for clarification.
Okay. Vyabhichari Babas, 3449. The Vyabhichari Babas of Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa are the same as those for Preeti Bhakti Rasa, with the addition of apasmara, epilepsy. Like, you don't see that in the servants so much. You may get stunned, but you won't have the epileptic thing because you don't have that intensity. And 3450, Harsha, joy from the 10th canto. The greatly fortunate mother Jashoda, having lost her son and then regained him, placed him on her lap. That chaste lady cried constant torrents of tears as she repeatedly embraced him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:17-20. Another example from Vidagdha Madhava. 3451. O Krishna, the great bliss generated from your touch produces in me the most pleasurable coolness, which conquers the coolness of abundant camphor, the moonlight, the herb ushira, spikenard, whatever that is, and the blue lotus or sandalwood. Srila Prabhupada. Mother Jashoda sometimes enjoyed transcendental ecstasy and happiness when her child was saved from a dangerous situation, such as being attacked by Putana or some other demon. The Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 17th chapter, verse 19. Sukadeva Goswami says that Mother Jashoda felt very, very fortunate when she got back her lost child. She immediately placed him on her lap and began to embrace him again and again. While she was thus embracing her son repeatedly, torrents of tears fell from her eyes, and she was unable to express her transcendental joy. It is stated in the Vidagda Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami, "My dear Krishna, the touch of your mother is so pleasing and cooling that it surpasses the cooling capacity of the pulp of sandalwood and of bright moonshine milk mixed with the pulp of ushira root. Ushira is a kind of root which, when soaked with water, has a very, very cooling effect. It is especially used in the scorching heat of the sun." Srila Jiva Goswami, "Chanda Paraga means powdered camphor. Nalada is Ushira. Shriyam means wealth. Camphor, Ushira, and blue lotus and sandalwood are also wealth of sweet coolness. Shaidya Madhurim, which is indicated by listing them in relation to the coolness of Krishna's touch." His touch is so cooling and so perfect. So it's giving some wonderful things. So these are, you know, things that they will experience. Okay, so we'll stop for today and then continue in the evening with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.